You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Mountain City Church. In this series, The Rhythm of Grace, Meditations in the Psalms, we explore the hymn book of God's people to find models of worship and relationship to God.
Well, again, good morning. My name is Marty. I am a member here and have the privilege of serving on staff here at the church. I don't know about you, but this morning I just need to take like just a second and just like just take a breath. Some of us, maybe it was a chaotic, cloudy, foggy morning getting here, a rough morning getting out of bed, getting the family here, getting them into the back, coming back here. So let's just take 10 seconds and just take a breath, a little prayer, and we'll get ready to join in together. I want to thank so many people for the way that you have been loving on Ruth and I over the last month and a half-ish. Maybe you've noticed we have an extra person tagging along with us for a little bit. And so he's with us for a little bit longer. But it was, again, I was just like tearing up this morning. Like, he wanted to go to class this morning, which is like a big win. And so thank you for everyone that's been loving on him, letting him help and serve and being extra eyes and ears and helping out with clothing and shoes and support. So just thank you. That means so much to Ruth and I. And just as we've been singing this morning, just like a whole wave of emotions have been coming over me this morning. And this is nowhere in my notes. But I'm excited to share with us together as we will be in Psalm 25. So please take your Bibles there. Because what David's facing and what I'm facing, they're different, but we're going to, together, there's some beautiful things in here for all of us. This is Psalm 25. The title that I've called for it this morning is, you know, the prayer of the fearful, lonely sinner. The fearful, lonely sinner. And this is, I think, really good for all of us this morning. I'm going to read the entirety of it. It is 22 verses, but we'll read this together this morning. And there's three things we'll look at from this. So let's read this together, and then I'll pray, and then we will look at what David is speaking about here and the three things I hope for us to see this morning together. So let's read this together. Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait on the Lord shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble in his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, and he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning that you are near to us, that you hear us when we call upon you, that you are great, that you are good, you are gracious, you're loving, and your steadfast love endures forever. Father, this morning as we are looking at this psalm, may we take on the posture. May we take on the heart that David has here as we think about you and what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Help us to hear this text as you intend us to hear it this morning. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. One of the things here that's really interesting about Psalm 25 is originally it was written as an acrostic poem, meaning originally each line of this would have begun with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's kind of like some of you last week, if your children made you like a Father's Day card, you taking, you know, the word father and saying, my dad is fun, awesome, tough, hard worker, eats a lot and ready to help. You know, E is the tough one. So maybe it was like that, okay? But originally, this psalm in Hebrew, it would have been an acrostic, which served kind of a couple different purposes. One, it would have been a helpful way to remember this. So as the children would have been singing this, or they would have been singing it in assembly, they could have gone through the alphabet and remembered each line. And also, if you think about it another way, it is kind of exhausting the topic. If you go from A to Z, or in the Hebrew alphabet, if you go through the entire alphabet explaining and focusing on a topic, you've kind of exhausted it. And so in a way, that's kind of what David is doing here. He is teaching it in a way and also kind of exhausting on this topic. That's just kind of a fun little side note this morning. But as we are looking at it this morning, there's kind of three things I want us to look at as we are reading through and looking at this morning. Because David's prayer here, it causes us to reflect and respond out of obedience to the Lord. The Psalms, they're amazing at showing us, you know, the wide range of emotion, and they point us to God's faithfulness and our dependence on Him. As we've been going through this series this June, looking at meditating on the Psalms and this rhythm of grace, as you look at the Psalms over and over and over again, the psalmist, even when they're going through trials and conflict and anxiety and these really strong emotions, almost always they conclude, "But I will trust in the Lord." And they focus on God's attributes. David's prayer this morning does the same thing. David, he is going through a lot here. We don't know the specifics in his life, but as we'll see, my enemies surround me, they're exulting over me. There's a lot of turmoil, and he is going through a lot of emotions, but as he's going through it, he's putting his trust in the Lord. So I just don't want us to look at Psalm 25 this morning as an intellectual exercise or Bible study. Like, oh, look at how these words contrast and they're beautiful. Okay, we can do that. But I want to try to get to our hearts this morning and see David's heart this morning. But I hope that just like David is desiring to draw near the Lord, as after our time together, we are drawn closer to the Lord just as David is desiring it. So as we are looking at Psalm 25 today, kind of three things I want us to look at as we read is, one, I want us to see the situation, okay? The situation. I want us to see the response and then the reason for that response. Again, if I was a better Baptist pastor, those all would be alliterated. But anyways, so what is the situation? What is the response? And what is the reason? Okay, so Let's look at this. Ready? Let's look at this together. So the situation, okay? The situation. We see so in some of these verses. Look in verse 2. We saw, let me not be put to shame. Verse 17, we see, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. In verse 20, we also see, let me not be put to shame. One of the emotions that we see here, and it's woven throughout, is there's this fear. David, there's fear here that he is, let me not be put to shame. Let them not exalt over me. Deliver me out of my distress. There's this deep fear that David seems to be facing. And that blends right into verse 16. Because of this fear, oftentimes when we fear something, just watch your children. When they do something that they're going to get in trouble, what do? They run and hide. They run to their room. They get under the bed. If you don't have children, what does your dog do when it gets in the trash? Its ears and tail are tucked. It knows, okay? yours does? Yeah? Okay. In verse 16, we see David, because of this fear and because of other things, he says in verse 16, "For I am lonely and afflicted." Another situation, another experience that he is experiencing is this fear of what's going on around him, but he's also, there's this loneliness. David, a man after God's own heart, a man that God has spoken to, that he feels lonely and afflicted. Is this not us at times? A lot of time, maybe? That we're fearful of things outside of us. Again, we saw that David, that there's this treach, that there are those around him that are wanting evil on him. His enemies are exalting over him in verse 2. He's asking not to be put to shame. Like, we're seeing a lot of fear of things around David. And in the midst of this fear, there's this loneliness. He feels cut off. He feels separated. And then he continues in this other big kind of experience and situation he's experiencing is guilt and sin. He identifies the guilt and sin. Look with me in verse 7. And he says, you know, remember not my sins and my transgressions of my youth. Verse 8. You know, he says, therefore, like, the God is upright and good, but he instructs sinners in the way. He's lumping himself in there as a sinner. Verse 11, he's, you know, pardon my guilt. And not just my guilt, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Again, there's this guilt and sin, and these things are woven together. Verse 18, again, we've seen that as well. Consider my affliction and my troubles, and forgive all of my sins. Again, David, the situation here that he is experiencing, he has this fear of everything going on around him. He has this loneliness he's feeling as he has maybe isolated himself or feels like no one is there for him as the enemies surround him in this stage of life. And he's seeing, he has all this guilt and shame from the sin that is in his life. And the sins of even, not even just like this moment, verse 7, like, oh, and the sins of my youth. Like, there's maybe this lasting sin, this lasting guilt that David has in his life. Again, is that not us? As we are thinking about maybe this moment or this season, and for some of us, it may be a droughted long season of being fearful of things around us, of feeling lonely and isolated and separated, and feeling great guilt and sin. I hope we're, in some ways, we're starting to maybe feel David's heart and not just hear it. In verse 11, one thing that one commentator said is, "To pardon my guilt, for it is great." But think about this. Our sin is great, when we consider whom it is committed. And sin is great when we consider that it is against a just and fair law of what God has said. And our sin is great when we consider that it is committed by those that are made in the image of God. And our sin is great when we consider the amount of our sin. So, against whom it is committed, that it is a good and fair and just law, that the people that are committing it are the ones that are made in God's image. And then when we actually see the amount of sin, forgive my sin, pardon my guilt, for it is great. When we understand that our sin is against God and that we are made in His image and that we have sinned against His standard, His expectation, it is great. It is great. Over the last 3 days, we've been down at the Housing Authority, and Tim, Willie, and Morgan, they shared a message each night from the book of 1 John. And it was a really, really wonderful and encouraging time. But one of the things that that Tim said, as we were looking there, how Jesus is light throughout 1 John. John weaves that narrative in there, how Jesus is the light. And he says, you know, you and I, we are not the light, but we're like the window. We're talking about stained glass windows. And what's even funny, this one, it has a light bulb behind it because it used to be outside, but now it has a light. So if we turn the lights off, like the stained glass is far less exciting. It's there, but it doesn't generate its own light. So it's like we are the glass, and whenever we are following Christ, like His glory, we reflect that image to others. Now, if we just took a giant clump of mud and like flung it on the window, like we've hindered the light from going out, and it is great. David is feeling fear and lonely and guilty of his sin. So then what is his response? We could just end there, but David doesn't. Woven throughout this beautiful, beautiful psalm, this beautiful acrostic psalm, look at his response. His response, it is one thing over and over and over again throughout it. His response is to go to the Lord in prayer. His response in this is to go to the Lord in prayer. Don't believe me? Well, look what David says. Verse 20, he says, "Oh Lord, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. Guard my soul, O Lord, and deliver me." Verse 16, "Lord, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." Verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." Do you see that? "Remember not my sins. Forgive me of my sins and my transgressions, and forget the things of my youth, O Lord." I found this quote. I love it. "When God remembers his mercy, he forgets our sins." When God remembers his mercy, he forgets our sin. And also here, "God, forgive me out of your steadfast love for your goodness, O Lord." God forgives out of his goodness, not ours. It's not because we've done enough things to impress him. It's not because we've tried to clean ourselves up. David here is saying, "God, you forgive because of your goodness, not because of David's goodness." God forgives our sin because of his goodness, not our goodness. Verse 11, he continues, "Pardon my guilt, O Lord." He's going to the Lord in prayer. "For your namesake, O Lord, pardon my guilt." Verse 18 again, "Consider the afflictions of my trouble and forgive all of my sins." Not just my sins. David's like, forgive all of my sins. And then he asked the Lord in verses 4 and 5, he says, "Make me to know your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths and lead me in truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I will wait all the day long." God, I need you. I am lonely. I am fearful. I am full of sin and guilt. God, you teach me your ways. God, you forgive me of my sins. Lord, you teach me your truths. For you are the God of my salvation, of your goodness, God. That is how we are freed from this guilt, shame, and fear. Lead me into your salvation, O Lord. That is where David's heart goes. In the midst of being fearful, lonely, and guilty, he turns to the Lord in prayer. Now, again, we said we're looking for three things. Our, kind of the situation, the response, which is prayer, but the reason for it. Again, it's woven all throughout here, and we've read these verses, but now we see the reason is because of God's goodness and faithfulness. The reason David prays the things he prays is because he knows of God's goodness and faithfulness. And just scratching the surface, look at some of these things with me. In verses 4 and 5, we saw those. For you are the God of my salvation. That's why he's praying these things to the Lord. And verse 7, because of his steadfast love and of his goodness. That's why he's going to the Lord. Verse 8, for he is good and upright is the Lord. Verse 9, he leads the humble into what is right and in his way. Again, and this is, and who does he teach? Those who have the posture of humility. Those who have the posture of humility. He teaches the humble his way. He teaches the humble his way. Again, verse 10, all the ways of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimony. That keeping his covenant, another way, like for those, for steadfast love and faithfulness, another biblical word for that is righteousness. Simply keeping your promises. God keeps his promises. He is steadfast and full of love and faithfulness. God keeps his promises. That's why David goes to him in prayer. Well, how else here? Like, in verse 14, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. The friendship of the Lord. Some translations, they call it like the secret counsel. And it's just Spurgeon, he said it this way. Some read it as the friendship. It signifies a familiar intercourse, a confidential intimacy, and select fellowship. He says, this is a great secret. Carnal minds, they cannot guess what is intended by it. And even believers cannot explain it in words, for it must be felt to be known. When you have this deep friendship with this Lord, this deep relationship with the Lord, you can explain it. I think that's one reason why David wrote so many psalms. He's like, I feel this and I'm just keep spilling out. When we worship together through song, I think we feel that intimacy, that closeness, that fellowship with the Lord, that taste of heaven, that taste of what is to come. This is just a glimmer. Like, we feel it. We can't explain it perfectly in a succinct sentence, but we know it when we feel it, and we know it when we see it. And he says, and those who are not of God, like, they don't get it. Like, why do you worship together? Why do you go to church? Why do you sing songs collectively? That's kind of weird. But when there's this deep relationship with the Lord, it is known and it is felt. It is known and it is felt. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, reminds us that there are realities of Christian knowledge and experience known only by those who have new life by the Spirit of God. The natural man, he does not receive the things of the Spirit. The natural man, those who are not in Christ, they do not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they be known to him, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. To explain such secrets to those who do not have the Spirit of God is like explaining colors to a blind man or musical harmonies to a deaf man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. David, and as he is spilling out this psalm, as he is pouring out his heart and exhausting himself on this topic as the fearful, lonely sinner, he knows who God is rightly and is calling upon him rightly because he has a right understanding of who God is. The Holy Spirit has opened his eyes. He has seen God for who he is, that he is good in his salvation. He is righteous. He is full of steadfast love. He keeps his covenants. God is good, the deliverer, the rescuer. And that is why David is pouring out his trust in him and him alone. Paul, as he was writing these words in 2 Corinthians, is pouring out and reminding the early church that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has passed away. The natural man, the way of Adam, is gone. And those who are in Christ are the second Adam. They have a new life, a new identity, and they see God rightly. This is that deep friendship with the Lord. That deep friendship with the Lord. Also in 2 Corinthians 4, we heard this morning. In 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 12, Paul is, as he, in a similar way to David, is talking about whenever there is fear, and maybe loneliness and guilt and sin around us, when we are being surrounded by things that are beyond our control, for those who are in Christ, listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 8. He says, "For we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." In verse 16 in that same chapter, verse 16 and 17, it says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self, that new creation, is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." David, he's putting his trust in the Lord. Paul here, he's saying, yes, there are things that afflict us. There are persecution that comes. There are hard things. But in that, Christ can be manifest. The light can shine through that stained glass window of our lives, and others see the work that Christ is doing in us and through us. So, as I said, there's three things I wanted us to see as we were looking at this psalm. I hope that as we walk with the Lord, that know that there are going to be troubles. And you will struggle with fear, loneliness, and guilt, and confusion. You're going to. If David did, if Paul did, I know certainly Marty will. But when those come, our response. So secondly, come to him without hesitation, bringing our prayers and our struggles to him. It's good and normal and healthy and life-giving to do that. And third, on the basis of our reason, Sorry, I misread that. Third, that the basis of our reason is promised in God's goodness and steadfast love for the humble and those who have the fear of the Lord. Look with me again at verses 16, 17, and 18. Turn to me and be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, thank you that you are near. Father, as David started, God, we lift up our soul to you. We lift up our life to you because you are the one who sustains us. You are the one who delivers us. You are the one who forgives us of our sins, and you are the one who gives us new life in you. Father, I am not so naive to think that everyone here this morning is free of trouble, free of struggle, free of fear, free of loneliness, free of guilt, free of confusion in their lives. But God, I know that you are the God who gives peace. That you are the God who comforts those in affliction. God, that you comfort those who mourn, that you come alongside those who are being persecuted, afflicted, those who are struggling and lost and sick. God, that you come to those who call upon your name. And Father, we thank you that you are with us, that you hear us. And Father, for those who have a right relationship with you, that though our outer selves are decaying and passing away, God, that our inner self, this Holy Spirit that you've given to us, our soul, that it will live on with you forever. Father, and because of your goodness and your steadfast love, your faithfulness, your unending love, may we always come to you and you alone. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Mountain City Church. To learn more about our church, visit our website at mountainCTY.church. Thanks again, and may the Lord bless your week.